morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Listen carefully now. If you've got a story along the lines of what you've been hearing this morning, then here are the numbers.
To talk with Art Bell, call the wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
I'm not so sure I'll be sleeping well tonight. I don't know about you, but this really has been something. More of it in a moment. Reminding you, keeping a line open this strange morning for those of you who have actually made a pact with the devil. We want to know how the pact is coming, and we want to know how you came and why you came to ask for that pact in the first place. So I'm holding a line open for that all by itself, and everybody else should call some other number. That number is area code 775-727-1222, if you made a deal. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Bell. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
And to you. What is your first name?
My first name is Bill.
Okay, Bill.
And I'm calling from Dallas, listening to KLIF.
Of course, the mighty Cliff.
And we're talking to the doctor earlier, who he kept asking him, you know, was he worried about payback? I think he told you. He said he was going to become a lawyer.
Yeah, he did. He said he was going to become a lawyer. That's exactly right, studying for medical school.
So that was the payback.
Well, it kind of struck me the same way, too.
Well, I have kind of, I don't know if this was an incredible hoax or what exactly happened, but this goes back to 1991, and I'm an attorney, and had an appointment to write a will. And a lady comes in, elderly lady, just as sweet as could be. I mean, she was like everyone's grandmother. And
so you do will and probate work?
I do some, yeah. It's not my primary work, but...
at least some of it. And if somebody comes to you for something like that, I guess you know...
If it's not real complex with a lot of, you know, testamentary wills and, I mean, testamentary trust and things like that, then, yeah, I used to do quite a bit. But anyway, this lady came in, she had an appointment, said that she'd never written a will before, and that she was going on a trip, and that she'd never flown, and she thought it'd be a good idea to write a will, and which is pretty common.
Sure.
And so she told me that her husband had died several years before, really didn't have a very big estate, had a house and a car and, a little bit of savings, and she listed her oldest son is executor and basically left the estate equally to her children.
Mm-hmm.
Think nothing about it. So anyway, it took a couple of days to do the will, and she said she was in a hurry because she was going on a trip. And she came back in, and in Texas you have to have at least two witnesses to do a will. And so the paralegal and secretary came in, you know, with a notary, and she executed it. And well, I asked her some questions about being of sound mind, and she was just real bubbly. I mean, she was just as nice and sweet as could be. And so, kind of liked her. Anyway, didn't think anything about it. Gave her the original will and put the other one in the file. And then several months later, I get a call, you know, from another attorney.
Yes.
And said he was representing this estate. And I said, oh, did she pass away? Because, you know, I remembered her. And he said, yeah, he said, but we're having a real problem with this, with your will. And I said, well, what's the problem with it? And he said, well, you executed it 3 days after she died.
Oh, my God.
And I
you're
so
sure.
I didn't know if it was the incredible. I hope so. This woman was not a ghost.
You're sure about the date that you put on the will?
Absolutely, because, I mean, we have a, you have a notary, and of course, I have an appointment book, and it was pretty well documented.
Uh-huh. Well, oh, my. So, I'm curious how this... as time went on, I mean, did this ever reach a courtroom, for example?
Well, the estate was, and it did. In fact, I had to go talk to the judge about it because, really, I thought I'd made an error or it was a bogus will. And basically, I talked to the probate judge and just told him this lady came in, and I assumed that's who she was. And
oh, God.
But quite frankly, she really didn't need a will because it wasn't that complex, so they didn't really have to do an estate. I think they actually transferred the property by doing...
Well, now, I'm curious. Now, the lady,
the lady who had
appeared to you, sir, surely as time went on, you were able to get a description of this lady who had died.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it matched perfectly. Even the demeanor. I mean, you know, because I described how she acted, and they said, well, yeah, that sure seemed like her.
Oh, brother.
And, of course, I never saw her again. So it was, like I said, at first I thought someone had played an incredible joke on me.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was. I don't know. It's hard to say.
The judge, did he have fun with you on this one?
Well, actually, he said he'd had it happen before.
Oh, I'll tell you, boy, you get on this program and ask for stories, and you do not get disappointed. Thank you very, very much.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, take care. All right, so there's an attorney who did a will for a lady who strolled into his office. The trouble was, she had died 3 days earlier. God. The evidence that piles up about physical death and all these things that we don't understand about that moment of death and that time which comes after, incredible stuff. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, good evening, Art. This is Beach calling you from Anchorage, Alaska.
Oh, how you doing, buddy? Anchorage. I was once there for 3 years.
That's right. I saw you there, if you remember.
At KENI.
That's right. The blowtorch.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, anyway, I wanted to relate something about a story that one of your earlier callers called in about. She was, I believe, from Central California and talking about running into this bear-like creature with green fur.
That's right.
That's right. Well, that jogged my memory. My grandfather grew up in a town that was about, oh, I'd say 30 to 35 miles north of Bakersfield, California, a little town called Taft.
You're kidding.
No, I'm serious. Out there in the middle of the oil field.
Yes.
And he was the head of the water company there. And the problem with that whole area was that when they tried to drill for water there, they either hit oil or the water was so nasty it was undrinkable. So what they ended up having to do is go about 60 miles sort of northeast towards the mountains into the middle of this dry lake bed and drill a whole bunch of wells.
Yes.
Okay, that was what we called Pump Station 1. All right, so... this is, 1960, 61 at the latest. I remember one night during the summer I was down there with my grandfather, and I used to ride with him. I used to go work with him, you know, did the whole thing. And we were heading out towards Pump Station, excuse me, 1. And in those days, there was just nothing out there. This was before Highway 5 was built or anything.
Right.
Okay, so we're going up the main Highway. We went through the little towns of Wasco and Shafter. That was Pump Station 2, and you could see Pump Station 1 out in the middle of this, you know, out in the middle of nowhere out there for miles.
Sure.
Right? So we turn off the main highway, heading towards the pump station, and we're probably, it's about a 20-mile road, I'd say, and we're about halfway, and all of a sudden, the same creature stepped right in the middle of the road in front of us.
By description.
By description, it looked a lot like I would describe a bear, except it had green fur. Bright green.
Bright green fur.
Bright green fur.
Not normal in nature, as far as I know.
No. Yeah, you know, I was a kid, so I really didn't know any better. And I remember my grandfather kind of swore, which is something that he never did in his life. And he basically slowed down, and the thing crossed the road. And we ended up going up to the pump station. I asked him, what was that? And he says, oh, that's the boogeyman for sure. And he says, and it likes to play with my pipes.
Huh.
Yeah, and I mean, I actually saw this thing. But on top of that, in the same area, I don't remember the exact name of this particular dry lake. I don't have a USGS map in front of me, but, you know, it's about, you know, about 75 miles kind of northeast of Bakersfield. And anyway, the other thing I used to do when I was a kid was about a quarter of a mile from the house out there in the oil fields, I used to climb this old wooden oil derrick. And I would watch what my grandmother used to call the angel lights up in the same direction.
Yes.
And these were like yellow and purple lights.
Yeah, that's kind of like the Marfa lights, actually.
Excuse me?
Yep, like the Marfa lights.
Yeah, and they would kind of circle around this whole area up where this pump station was. And later on, come to find out that there's just all kinds of stories that a lot of the workers told about strange things happening up there. And I just wonder, is there not a correlation between these dry lake beds
And some
UFO activity?
Yeah, it's a very good question. Thank you for the story. Apparently, a lot going on in this American Southwest desert, and perhaps earlier parts of California. Fascinating. You're on the air, Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Good morning.
Yeah, hi. I remember that lady that was the nurse was talking about the gentleman that wasn't breathing.
I believe. The lady who put her hand on his chest, you mean?
Yes.
That one? Yes.
Yes. I was on medication about 2 years ago, and it was for back pain. Now, I was going up the stairs, and I fell down, and my wife came downstairs. She looked at me. She put her hand on my chest. I wasn't breathing. I turned purple. And then when she put her hand on my heart, she says, my heart wasn't beating. The neighbor next door ran over. When he picked me up, I started breathing again. This was a matter of 4 minutes.
4 minutes?
Yeah.
Well, you understand that in most of the world we know about, 4 minutes would, I think, mean that you would be without much of a functioning brain left.
Yeah, and you know what? I felt like I was floating, and then when I told my doctor about it, he looked at my medication. He goes, oh, he says, you're allergic to codeine.
Well, that makes two of us, my friend. I am too.
And I thought, you know, now I'm scared to take any, like, I can't take aspirin or anything because I had a bad disc in my back, eh? I'm calling from Dryden, Ontario in Canada.
I would have guessed.
So I bake at night, and I listen to your show. You got a great show, Art.
Thank you very much, and take care. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Art, this is Georgia.
Georgia, how you doing?
Hi, I'm calling from Seattle area.
Oh, yes.
Yes. How are you?
Fine.
Good. I'm enjoying the show, as always. I wanted to state something to you. I feel that I have gotten guidance that in six past lifetimes, I have compromised myself with the devil. And in this lifetime, I am a healer, and I have been trying to relieve myself of karma. I'm a Buddhist, and...
So you're trying to tell me you made deals with the devil in past lifetimes, but not this one?
Not this time.
I see.
Thank goodness. And I am on a path of redeeming myself.
But wait a minute. Just a moment now. You said that you believe you have lived many times, up to a half dozen times.
Oh, many more than that.
Well, okay.
But I've compromised myself in a half dozen.
Yes, clearly I got that part. So here's what I'm worried about. If you believe in many lives, as so many people do, and you believe that you've made deals with the devil in all those past lives, then karmically, well, I just don't know about this current lifetime.
Yes, in six lifetimes I have. And in this lifetime, I am
well, you've
on
cleaned
a path.
Up. You know, you've cleaned up. But
yes.
My point is, karmically, having made so many deals in past lifetimes, isn't it overwhelming that something's going to happen to you in this one?
No, actually, you can go ahead and work against that karma, and that's what I'm doing in this lifetime. And by trying to help myself and help others and work with sentient beings, I am reducing the karma from past, and that's why we're all here. We have karma, and so we're locked here until we can relieve ourselves of that karma. And I was given a guidance this evening. And that's the reason why I'm calling. There's something that people can say. They have to say it four times, and who they would say it to is in their own belief system. they would say to whoever represents in their own belief system God, they would say, in my belief system, I would say bodhicitta. But in
what
another...
What are the words?
It would be for a person that says God, they would say, God, please forgive me for the lives in which I compromised myself. And they would say that four times to develop a protocol.
And to take, I've got it, to take that away. All right. Well, that wasn't exactly what I was looking for. What I'm actually looking for is people who have made deals in this lifetime with the devil. I know there's a lot of you out there. Father Martin told me there were. He told me that, in fact, when he passed them on the street, he recognized them. It was easy to tell. They had made perfect deals with the devil. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, well, I'm going to tell you what the real story is, Mr. Bell.
Good Lord.
It is how you continue to gloss over the real news with all this nonsense about the satanic rites of people passing their souls on and making deals with the devil.
You don't believe it? You, of all people, don't believe it?
I do believe people do this. I do believe people do this, and I'm going to tell you what I believe also. I believe that you and your friends that are making deals with the devils, such as the activist judges that are throwing out the cases against pornographers that we're trying to destroy, that are trying to destroy America, those people all have made deals with the devil, because the pornography industry, there is not enough people out there in this great nation of ours that want to consume this kind of product to even have an industry to
Look,
have.
How can you believe that judges have made deals with the devil? Why don't you instead believe that these judges have simply looked at the Constitution and the Bill of Rights
and the
First Amendment? Hey, wig out, take a deep breath. What about the First Amendment? Maybe the judges haven't made deals with the devil at all. They're just recognizing there is a First
Amendment. The First Amendment applies to pornographers.
The First Amendment applies to everybody, Beanhead.
No, it does not. And in fact, the First Amendment has been completely mistranslated. It was not meant for people to be able to make the kind of filth that we are seeing pumped out of Hollywood, that sewer of Los Angeles. And if people want to know why God is punishing the world, it is because, and God is punishing America, it is just like Pat Robertson said, it is because of the pornographers, the homosexuals, and the degenerates.
And what do you think? What do you think is going to happen to the pornographers when they die?
Well, I can't wait, because I'm going to be able to tell them I told you so, because they are going to go to hell, Mr. Bell.
Think so, huh?
Yep.
I
know it.
A steamy pit of whatever.
The boiling pit of sewage is where they're going.
Yes.
You know that.
Well,
that
may be
for people like you and your listeners and pornographers.
That may be their future, indeed. But
Mr. Bell, if you let me just get one word in when I call, you never let me speak.
Speak.
All right. What I want to say is that America must stand up against the gay marriage. We must stand up against the pornography.
Now, how is gay marriage going to hurt you?
It is attempting to subvert the American family unit. It is attempting to depopulate the American continent.
Depopulate the continent?
Yes, with these homosexuals running around spreading
their diseases.
But even
if it's 10 or 15% of the population and they were to marry and not reproduce, then you might get the same effect because they wouldn't reproduce.
But their
right?
agenda is not simply to allow the 10 or 15%. That is an overestimated and inflated number, by the way. They want to convert.
Well, then
that is their agenda. Conversion.
Then why are you worried about it? If it's such a low number, then why are you concerned?
Because have you seen these programs on television? On our television, on our public airways?
Which one?
They have the queer guys with their eyes on the straight guys, and they're trying to turn them into homosexuals. This is a part of the New World Order. They are trying to homosexualize our society, will not have it.
You may not have it, but it's happening anyway. Those shows are on the air,
and
they're being generally wide accepted.
No, they're not widely accepted.
All across America, they're being accepted. All across America. The ratings are very good for that kind of thing.
No, they're not.
Oh, yes, they are. Yes, they are. They're very good. That's why they're on.
the New World Bankers,
people,
and the New World
Order. The people control the ratings. And,
no, the liars control the ratings.
Say goodbye.
Mao said, it's not who counts, who casts the vote, it's who counts the vote.
Goodbye.
Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Actually, it's kind of been a wicked weekend, hasn't it?
Good morning, everybody. I am Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM. If you'd like to help us wrap up the weekend in wickedly good style, those are the numbers. Here we are.
Are you looking?
To resume a wickedly good night. First time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Probably better than somebody who would call the I made a deal with the devil line.
Well, I don't know if I made a deal. I made an offer.
You made an offer, or you were given an offer?
No, I made an offer.
You made an offer?
Yeah.
Ah, so what was your offer? You called out and said...
I've been thinking, sis, I'm tired of God not doing anything in my life. I'm 29, I've never dated. And saying, you know what? If God's not going to help me, maybe the devil will.
Yeah, so, that's exactly how it happens.
Yeah.
And when you did this,
did
anything happen?
No.
Nothing, huh?
Nothing's happened yet.
So your calls for the devil have rung as hollow as for God.
Right.
What are you going to do if, you know, suppose that you hang up from me and it makes an appearance and says, well, okay. I heard you now. You are on national radio. So I'm here. I'm ready to make the deal. What do you want?
Mm, I'm not sure.
Oh, yes, you are, or you wouldn't have asked.
True.
So what is it you want?
I want a boyfriend.
You want a boyfriend?
Yeah.
And if you got a boyfriend, you would be willing to what? You'd be willing to assign your soul to me later?
I'm not sure. I have to think about it.
We'll make this a really good-looking boyfriend. I mean the dream guy. He's got money, too. What do you say?
Huh. Yeah.
That's a yeah, then. That's a yes.
I don't know.
All right, all you got to do is sign here. Right here.
I'm not sure.
Put an X. We'll know. So you still need to think it over?
Yeah.
You're not a good deal maker. Have a good day. Yeah. Well, I thought I'd give her what she wanted. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah. Well, I got a story for you, Art.
Do you now?
Yes, I do. Okay. Like I said, I was out in Phoenix, Arizona. I had a knock on my front door. I look out the peephole. I see a good friend of mine I hadn't seen in a while. Like I said, we had taken a vacation out to Arizona together previously. He ended up going home. I stayed in Arizona.
And so?
Anyways, I see him through the peephole, so I open the door. I'm like, hey, what's up, man? You know, how you been, you know? What are you doing here, you know? And he just looks at me and he goes, I'm okay. You know, he's like, I'm fine. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You're okay, you're fine. And as I was looking at him, his clothes were like ripped up. And it wasn't like, it was really him. He was there standing right in front of me.
Yes.
And he looked a little bruised up and like his clothes were kind of ripped. And I'm like, well, what's going on? Do you want to come in? You know? And he's like, no, I just want to tell you, everything's fine. I'm just fine. It's great. And then he started walking away and it looked like he was walking across the courtyard to my neighbor's house. And I kind of, like, you know, went back in, you know, kind of put on my pants a little better and ran back out, and then he was gone. Well, what was really crazy, you know, and I looked all around for him. You know, I drove around, I looked around. About 2 days later, you know, I'll skip all the stuff. I'm talking to my ex-girlfriend overseas, and she tells me, you know, you need to sit down for this. And I'm like, what? What's going on? She's like, just sit down. And I'm like, okay, I'm sitting down. And I can say first names, right?
Yeah.
She goes, Tulsi died. And
Tulsi died?
Yeah, she told me that Tulsi died. And Tulsi, the guy I saw, you know, the one that I went to Arizona with, that was at the front door. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I think he's out here. I just saw him.
Right.
And she's like, I'm like, well, when did this happen? And she's like, well, it's been about 4 or 5 days now. I haven't been able to get in touch with you, and I didn't want to leave a message on your phone, you know, on your answer machine with this information. I want to tell you in person.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. And all I can make of it was that I don't know. You know, it's the timing of it.
What were the circumstances of his death? He died where and of what? How?
He died in Hawaii. And he was hit by a car.
So there's no way. So your friend was coming to let you know that it was all right. Right?
I'm sorry.
Your friend was coming to let you know it was all right.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, he didn't go into specifics, and I couldn't get anything out of him. And to tell you the truth, I was kind of like froze up. I couldn't really talk to him. But what's even stranger is after the point, once, you know, I realized that he had passed away and stuff, you know, and, you know, I have a higher believing, I think, you know, about death. I don't really think we really die. We just kind of move on to the light or whatever you want to say, how you want to say it. But I'm moving into a new apartment, right? And I'm carrying these boxes. Well, when we came out to Arizona, we bought a car together.
Okay, very quickly now, sir. We're almost
Okay. Well, I paid about $300 on the car, and he paid the rest, you know. And he ended up going back to Hawaii, like I said. And I, you know, I never paid him what I owed him. And I'm carrying these boxes, and I'm kind of looking up at the ceiling, you know, and I'm like, well, at least I don't have to pay you the $300 I owe you, Tulsi, because we were close friends, you know? And right then at that time, man, the bottom of the box falls out, and these pictures fly out. And on the top three, four pictures, they're all him.
Yeah.
So I look up, I look back up at the ceiling, and I go, I'll send it to your mother, I swear.
So did
it
you?
Crazy.
Did you?
Actually,
you didn't. All right, well, then you're in for more trouble, buddy. That's all I can tell you. You should have taken the hint. It almost broke your foot. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Logan. I'm calling from Pittsburgh.
Yes, Logan.
I'm calling. I've actually been, like, what they call physically dead or coded out, as they call it.
How so? You in other words, physiologically?
I flatlined.
You flatlined. From what?
Instance, when I was four, I was almost five, I know normally most of the time things happen to you at that age, you don't remember it, but something that huge you remember. And I actually choked to death off of a sandwich. And
yeah, it happens.
And I saw my mother go into a panic, and I saw myself laying there very purple. And I went into, the ambulance eventually came in, and they took me to the hospital, and I didn't see myself going into the ambulance. I had gone someplace else, and it wasn't bright. I mean, it was very well lit, but it was more of that. You know how it looks just before the dawn breaks, or dusk just before it gets dark.
Of course, yes.
It was that very
in
indigo,
between.
Yeah, that very indigo kind of color. Mm. And it was very serene and tranquil. And I for lack of a better term, I saw this, you know, this immense garden. And it was like I had been, I don't know, it was like there was this communication with me that was, you know, it was wordless, but the gist of it was to go back. Mm-hmm. And I went back. And I had just learned how to spell several new words that day. Dog and cat and simple things like that. And
right.
The first thing my mother did when I came, I recall being rolled out on a stretcher. I had tubes and everything. It was kind of hard to talk. But my mom says, "Do you remember how to spell dog?" And I looked up at her, just deadpan, you know, and I spelled G-O-D. So it was like it was almost as though I had been on the other side of the looking glass, kind of thing. And everything was reversed.
And your mom has told you all of this.
A large part of it is my memory, and as well as mixed with what my mother remembers of the whole situation.
Okay, well, that's usually okay. Thank you very much. That's usually how those things are remembered. I wonder how many of you have memories. In your very early, for example, I can remember distinctly being in my crib. I can remember holding the slats on my crib. I can remember crawling out of my crib. I can remember going into my mom's brand new cedar closet and finding a bucket of yellow paint. And I can remember painting my mom's cedar closet. And I can remember my mom screaming a lot. I can remember all of that. I painted most of her cedar closet, at least that which I could reach, and I thought I had done her such a large favor. I mean, this was beautiful, newly installed cedar, you know, with that great cedar smell to it. I just slopped the old yellow paint on it. I was out of my crib. Should have been taking a nap. I remember all of that, I think. Now, I'm sure that I remember holding my crib, but my mom has told me the story of painting her cedar closet so many times that I'm not sure now whether I really have that in my own memory or that was transferred to me at such a young age and repeated so frequently, because it was so traumatic for my mom, that it sort of installed the memory in me. And I bet you have a lot of memories just like that. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
Hi. I wanted to tell you a story, an experience I had. It was about 20 years ago, and it was...
What is your first name?
Well, I'd like to be anonymous.
Well, I know. Pick a name you've always liked.
Kathy.
Kathy. Oh, that is... I've always liked the name Kathy, too. Okay, Kathy.
Okay. Well, it was about 20 years ago, and I was living in New York at the time, and I had this experience where I fell asleep, but I wasn't really asleep. It was more like what you would call a lucid dream or some state like that where you're not
right.
really in a deep sleep and you're aware of everything. And I saw a vision of what you would call Satan or the devil or whatever you'd want to call it appeared at the foot of my bed.
Oh.
And he appeared to be a man, a very, very good-looking man, as a matter of fact. And he, it was all sort of telepathic. He didn't speak. But he was offering me a pact with him that if I were to make this pact, I would have basically a very wonderful life, whatever I wanted, material,
yes.
Anything that I wanted.
And how old were you at this?
I was in my early 20s.
In your 20s, okay.
Yeah. And I should say I was raised as a Catholic, and so for years I thought perhaps this is just my own thoughts about Catholicism or something that had come up, but I don't believe that. I really believe this was so real that this really happened.
Do you remember your response?
Yes, I do. I know that he made clear that I could have what I wanted if I would, in return, help him to corrupt souls.
Oof.
That I would have to help in this mission, which is to, you know, capture souls.
Yes,
him,
and,
yes.
And well, here was an opportunity to put one foot on the ladder. So,
and I have to say, since I had no, I was not prepared for this at all. I had not been asking for any pacts with the devil at all. I had no preparation, and in the moment, it was so alluring that it was so quite seductive that I started to reach out toward him. He reached his hand out toward me.
Yes.
And I started to reach out toward him because it was so, just so, you know...
Attractive.
Irresistible.
Yes.
And the force, you know, was irresistible. And then at the last second before I touched him, I said, no, I want God.
Mm.
And he, I don't know why I said that either. It was just like, it just came out. And he disappeared. And I thought, oh, thankfully, it's gone, it's over. And then I looked at the side of the bed, and he reappeared, but now I could see, like, souls in hell below him. He was, like, I could see he was, like, standing on their shoulders or physically
so
oppressing them.
So you could clearly see you made the right choice.
And they were all, like, reaching out toward me, and I don't know if they were trying to pull me in or they were asking for help, but my impression was that it was all chaos. I didn't see fire and brimstone, just chaos, the worst sort of imaginable chaos that they were living in, and they were asking for help. And he was laughing and just almost saying, like, you know, these are the souls, you know, that I have captured. And I just, like, then it just disappeared, and it was over. And I, for years, whenever I tell the story, the reactions I get are, you know, just sort of from stunned disbelief to sort of negative about, well, this is your Catholic background. But I really swear to you, look,
I can hear it in your voice. You don't have to swear to me. Thank you very, very much for the call, and have a good morning. On the Let's Make a Deal line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm quite well, perhaps better than you. Or perhaps not. Did you actually make a deal with the devil, sir?
Yes. Made a deal. As most people have made deals with the devil, I did it at a very young age.
But not you.
Oh, no, I did.
You did make a deal, but at an older age.
I made it at the young age and went through Satanic sacraments to lock it in. And
how old were you? Wait a minute. How old were you when you made your deal?
The first time that came out. I was under the age of 12.
Under the age of 12. That's a little early. Maybe even not legally old enough to.
Not man's law, sir. God's law. Uh-huh. At the age of 12, the agreements that you make between God and or the devil.
Oh, is that really the age of consent as far as God and the devil are concerned? 12 years old, and boom, you can make a deal?
The age of reckoning.
The age of reckoning, 12 years of age. Wow. I would have thought quite a bit older. I mean, there are some 12-year-olds that, yes, might be able to be legitimately making a deal with one of the two of them, but most 12-year-olds, no.
Well, about 100 years ago, a man was being married at the age of 12, too, sir.
That's true.
Society is not reality.
So, what have you reaped as a result of your deal with the devil?
Tons of pain and suffering out of it.
Pain and suffering?
Oh, yes. Fortunately, I stopped my path. And like the lady that called you earlier, I was talking about working her karma out.
You were able to turn it around. All right, well, listen.
It won't go away for the rest of my life, sir.
I understand, but what this show will do is go away. I have to. It's the end of the weekend. It's been a wonderful one. Thank you all. And I think I'll try and get a little sleep. Here's Crystal. Good night.
Midnight in the desert, shooting stars across the sky. Magical journey will take us on a ride, filled with the longing, searching for the truth. Will we make it till tomorrow? Will the sun shine on you? Midnight in the desert,